When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And I'm coming to you from my brand new Mac studio, Ian.
All right, settle down, braggy boy.
It's not a brag, it's just a statement of fact. This is a brag. It's incredible, and I'm glad I bought it.
Yeah, all right, lucky you.
Yeah. It's rather lovely.
I could buy one, but it would tax me financially, and I don't have a good reason to.
Very well. Well, we're going to come back to it a little later on in the show because there are a few things I wish to discuss. Let's dive headfirst into some news, though, now. Measures to criminalise cyber flashing and give a right to appeal against the removal of social media posts are among the changes the government has proposed to its Online Harms Bill. This is who wrote this bit? This was the BBC. The UK is introducing long-awaited and sweeping legal proposals, which we all know about, of course, because we've been talking about it for ages, to force internet companies to remove illegal content from their platforms and, in addition, give Ofcom the power to impose some pretty massive fines and personally prosecute executives at companies that fall foul of the law once it becomes a law for failures to comply. Now, although the central aims and the numerous revisions have been in circulation since 2019, the Online Safety Bill was presented for MPs to see in full this week after a first formal draft was published back in May. So here's what's coming as a bit of a summary. The companies themselves, so this is your Facebooks and Googles and so on and so forth, big social media companies, will have to assess risks of the types of legal harms against adults which could arise on their services. So that we're waiting on the definition exactly. They'll come out at a later date, but adult consenting pornography is legal but would be considered a harm, so the companies have to assess the risk of that on their platform. They're also going to have to set out how they will deal with those risks and enforce them consistently. As I say, the definitions of the legal harms are going to be set out later. Potential examples could, though, also include the promotion of self-harm, eating disorders, and harassment. There are some additional aspects, though, which were introduced that we didn't previously know about. This is, as I mentioned, the criminalizing of sending unsolicited sexual images to people using social media. This is cyber flashing. I didn't realize that's what it was until relatively recently in the past. Another thing that's been added is that people will be given the right to appeal if their social media posts were removed unfairly, in their opinion. There's also a very big section about preventing online scams. This includes paid for fraudulent adverts, investment fraud, and romance scammers. And that's something you and I have talked about on this show over the last couple of years, because it does tend to crop up a lot around Valentine's Day. But that is specifically identified as being a harm in this. And also, we have the return of the requirement for pornography websites to verify their users' ages. Although, when I was going through the text, it really is even more vague than we thought, because it's any site that publishes pornography.
So Twitter, for example.
Which would include Twitter, which would include Reddit. Yeah. They would probably be subject to this anyway, but the fact that they have that on their platforms will put them in the position where they have to then set out how they're going to be monitoring it, dealing with it, taking it down if necessary. They're not a pornographic website. DCMS, the Department for Culture, Media and Sport here in government, said that news content and journalism will be exempt from regulation. And there are question marks over how that rule would be applied. For instance, can you essentially say, oh, I wasn't doing a harassment, I was doing a journalism's, or similar?
And I think, I mean, actually, you do raise a really good point there, because there have been certain circumstances where, and this happens when you've got someone with a big platform. I could think of some examples, but I won't cite them. But I can think of one very specific example where someone who you could call a journalist did orchestrate a bit of a pile-on onto another journalist, and they would be exempt from that, like, no matter what harm that did. That seems to me quite clumsy, and it means that journalists would say, you know, or people could claim they were journalists when they weren't, or journalists themselves could just be douchebags. I mean, it's not unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, the enforcement is going to be the interesting thing, and that's certainly part of the problem that the law will have, which is how will it be enforced? And obviously Ofcom is being put in charge here, but Ofcom is not necessarily widely stocked with as many people as may now be required to
deal with. It can't cope with its burden already. I mean, there are so many things that it just cannot get to. It's ridiculous.
But that's not a reason not to legislate if necessary. And there are elements of the proposal that do make a lot of sense. I mean, we don't want kids stumbling on porn. We don't want people sending dick pics to colleagues and strangers in the street. No. We don't want people being harassed for what they look like or their religion or things like that. Like, there are lots of very good parts to this, and in principle it addresses the right ideas, but the execution as presented, as I think has been pretty widely discussed by experts over the last week and certainly the last few months and even years, it just leaves it so widely open to interpretation that we could get bogged down with red tape and claim and counterclaim, and
I mean,
for years.
I think that I have a problem with this bill in that its scope is too broad. So, for example, I am very, very, very on board with the cyber flashing rule. I think that's a really good way of saying to people, look, you know, share your fruity pics of your bod with whomever you want as long as they consent. That's fine. But it also means that if someone goes on Twitter and just starts DMing random people with their, you know, unwanted physiology, then they can do something about that. They're finally empowered to say, right, you've broken the law, I'm going to report this to police, and the police will go, right, that's great, there's a bit of law, we can use that and we can actually do something about this. And Twitter will have no option but to comply, because it'll be, you know, done through the courts as any law would be, and that's great, and I really like that. The problem is, putting all the rest of this stuff in with it means that I can't support large chunks of this bill. Like, I can't, if that stupid paywall thing comes back for porn, I can't support it because it's so stupid. You know, the age verification thing is not going to work.
It's too much
to ask for.
It is in the bill.
In there. So therefore, it's ruining this bill. This bill needs to be separated out into little chunks. But I know why they do it, because there is no right-thinking person that would say no to the cyber flashing rules. So therefore, it's going to get to, you know, the House, at the Houses, and they're going to go, oh, well, on balance, this is probably something we should wade through, which means that then we're going to have that stupid porn age ID thing, and it's unworkable. It will not happen. And there, you know, there's countless other things in here, like the right to appeal. Well, you probably already got that. Like, if you, you know, if you get banned from Twitter, I think there's a way you can appeal it.
Well,
same with Facebook.
The difference is,
they won't listen.
But you're appealing to the company. Now you're presumably appealing to an ombudsman. The ombudsman is coming.
So you're going to appeal to Ofcom?
Well, not necessarily, but we have the way to appeal with, say, the press. With a press complaints, like, you don't. I'm just saying that it is
well,
a
great example, because technically that will work exactly the same way, won't it? It won't.
My point is that it is a framework that is being created. Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to work, and we've seen many, many times why it doesn't. You could look at the right to be forgotten, the European law to be removed from search results. It is a long-winded process. It's very time-consuming. It's often not worth the bother, and it's not watertight. That is the same here, but it's more than people currently have. It's another channel. Whether it's an effective one is left to debate.
Sure. But it's in a bill of, you know, stuff that's either slightly more stupid or way more stupid than that, and with some good bits. So it's an extremely complicated and difficult bill, and I think they've done it all wrong.
Well, it's been in the works for at least 3 years, and we now have the final of the final proposals to peruse, and we know what's in it. However, that's not the end of the road. This will take, we expect months. I've been covering this very closely. I was editing our Bloomberg story about it with our reporting team this week. And, you know, this is going to go through months of debate. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to get debated. It's going to have people commenting. It is quite possible that major changes will still take place. I think the ambition is for this to get royal assent like by the end of the year. I think we'll see this in power before 2023.
Do you think Nadine Dorries will have learned what an algorithm is by then?
I think it's quite...
story of the week, in case anyone didn't know. She rocked up at a Microsoft meeting and went, so when are you banning algorithms then?
Yeah, it's not what you want from someone in charge of this law, is it?
It's not a surprise. She's not well suited to that job. If she's suited to any job at all beyond, I don't know, cleaning gum off the underside of tables, you know, whatever. But it's stupid. It's frustrating. It's the fact that they just don't even seem capable of consulting with people who understand technology. There are plenty of us. You know, it's only a phone call.
I have wondered this. Why don't we have more people who are experts doing these jobs? I look at somebody like...
Well, they tried it once. They got Martha Lane Fox in, didn't they? Now, Martha Lane Fox set up a very popular website, but I wouldn't have described her as a tech expert. I wouldn't have, you know...
She did a travel website, didn't she?
Yeah. Lastminute.com, wasn't it? Yeah. And she became this sort of czar of technology. And I was like, really? You couldn't find anyone else? Because, well, you know, sure, she accomplished a lot in business, but it was also a dot-com boom.
But it immediately puts her so many rungs on a ladder of suitability above somebody like Nadine Dorries, who, yes, as you say, doesn't come from a technical background.
Well, I'd rather have those days back with people meaningfully advising the government. You know, if it's Martha Lane Fox, fine, I'll take it.
This is the thing. So. But that's, I mean, I never like us getting too deep into you know, politicians specifically.
It's inevitable with me, unfortunately. But yes, I know. You're quite right. We should be less political. I apologise for that.
I think it's more that this is a law that has enough behind it in terms of you can agree with the spirit of what it wants to achieve, even if you vehemently disagree with the complete execution as it is today, which is, I think, what we feel is appropriate. It's not going to do as good a job as they think, and in its current form may well do more harm than good, i.e. it's going to be too easy for companies to say, fine, we'll just not bother serving you in certain ways, or push you to smaller pornography sites, or...
Yeah,
people have a way around this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point, isn't it? I don't believe that Twitter would turn off the UK, but who knows? It could do.
It's a big model.
Might be easier.
It's a big market for them. And Bart in our live chat does point out, although he refers to something I said, but it predates Nadine Dorries. Like, this law was in the works before she was the position she is in.
But I would say, and this is me equalising my political ranting, across the whole of politics, technology is not well enough understood. And that, you know, if it was Labour in power right now, I'm sure we'd be going through largely the same thing, because this is something that politicians tend to get a bee in their bonnet about. it's and they're winning because I'm hearing people say, well, if we can do something to protect children from pornography, then that's a good thing. I'm like, you're right, but this thing, it will not help. And in fact, it will make you think that you're safer and you won't be. And that is the worst thing in the world you can ever be, is led to believe that the world is a safer place than it is. We want everyone on high alert at all times. It's exhausting. Being alive is exhausting.
Do we have? Do you feel you have your privacy has been preserved more now because of the cookie pop-ups?
No,
because
and in
I
fact,
don't.
It's been proven. Well, I say it's been proven. I've been seeing a lot recently of people talking about how actually it's made everything worse. It's far more complicated now. People think they're safe. You know, they see this thing. You know, they're just consenting to things now without realizing what they're doing. No, that whole thing, that needs a rework. Where's that in this bill? Where's the common sense approach to saying, right, actually, it's going to go way beyond telling people you're collecting cookies. You're actually not going to be allowed to collect cookies or something like that. You know, that's the meaningful thing that needs to happen, not tell me you're collecting cookies and then provide me with 112 boxes to check so that I'll just give up and say yes, because that's what it's like.
Yes, it is. And that's what I mean, is that that may have had the good intentions behind it, but the execution means that we now have a giant mess on our hands. And the risk here is arguably greater.
Sorry, just that's why we've banned porn.
Who said ban porn?
No, it was a joke about a giant mess on our hands.
Ah. We'll end on that note. Let us know any views you have on this. If you have a giant mess on your hands, let us know what it is and what you're going to do about it. Hello at uktechshow.com.
Nate, a group representing mobile phone networks are upset because Mobile UK represents the views of companies like EE, Virgin Media O2, Three and Vodafone. And this week, Mac Rumours is reporting that they've made a complaint in response to a CMA report around Apple's Private Relay, which offers more secure browsing to people using Apple products like the iPhone, and I believe Macs as well, although I haven't experienced it there.
I have, and you're right, it is on
Mac. Yes, but you do have to use Safari, is that right?
You have to use Safari or an app that's using the Safari component within it,
right?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, so that pretty much includes every browser on an iPhone then. Yeah, right, fine. Well, Cloud Relay doesn't work on my network because I do DNS differently. So for me, this is all a bit of a mess. But anyway, the complaint, like, this makes me so angry, is that customers, that these mobile operators are being frustrated by the fact that their customers have any sort of privacy at all. The Mac Rumors story is rage-inducing. Here's a quote from it. Private Relay prevents network providers from seeing network traffic from Safari and unencrypted applications. In preventing network operators from seeing this traffic, Mobile UK says that Private Relay prevents service providers from understanding demand patterns across mobile networks, inhibiting their ability to effectively diagnose customer issues. Moreover, Private Relay is alleged to compromise content filtering, yes, malware, anti-scamming, and phishing reduction provided by network providers. Mobile UK also claims that Private Relay is a threat to national security since it impairs the insights available to the government's investigative powers with an implication for law enforcement with regards to terrorism, serious organised crime, child sexual abuse and exploitation. Now, that's the same nonsense we always hear. We're very used to it now. You know, you want to make a point about something, so you bring up all the terrible things people do and blame, you know, encryption for it. And then Mobile UK, it has a quote on this in the same article, a very good Mac Rumors story, by the way, which reveals its true motivation. Network providers would no longer be able to use web traffic data over Safari to develop their own digital products and services that compete directly with Apple. For example, a network provider may no longer have access to information about a user's content viewing habits to develop their own content that competes with Apple TV. Similarly, a network provider may no longer be able to share consumer insight with third parties that provide digital advertising services in competition with Apple Search Ads. Now, Nate, I will let you speak, but I am absolutely livid about this.
I can imagine.
I mean, truly enraging. Like, that last paragraph, the fact that they just want to trample all over our rights, it is beyond infuriating. And my statement to them is, back in your boxes, dumb pipes. Offer the internet to us and shut up.
So, I mean, it boils down, right, if I'm understanding this correctly, that there's a body that represents the big phone companies.
Yes.
The body has complained and said, people who have Apple's private relay turn on hide their network traffic, which means yes, we can't see what they're doing.
Also, which... they complain that it's on by default. That's a big part of this as well. So if you have a compatible phone with iOS 15 or above, I believe, it will automatically be turned on by default.
Really? When I opened my Mac, my new one, it was disabled. It wasn't.
Don't know. That's what they're saying. Nothing to do with me.
Okay. Well,
I actually disputed that as well. I thought there were a number of things that they say in the article that I thought that isn't actually right, is it? Anyway, carry on.
Well, that was really my point. It's just that I understand this correctly, because you can make the same argument to any VPN provider. I mean,
the way that
Apple's private relay works is you send a request to one server, and then that server passes it to another but doesn't give you all the data. And then that server passes it to another one which gets the other part of the data. And then the website that you're accessing, or the thing you're accessing, cannot see the complete picture of who or where you are, and no one in the middle can see everything. That way it obfuscates what you're doing. And it's not a VPN, really, but it's VPN-like.
It's
using hops and disguising what you're doing between those hops.
Well, the point is it's more like sort of a VPN. Well, because it's what's called a double VPN. So essentially, Apple's protecting you from Apple by going through two hops. So Apple says that it doesn't know where your stuff is going either. Which, you know, I mean, you have to give Apple some credit for this. Like they said, they say the same thing about the new App Store rules that, you know, that for advertisers, they say, well, they apply to Apple too. It's not, you know, we're not giving ourselves a free pass. But anyway, carry on.
Well, the question I want to ask then is, why is this such a massive issue? What is it the networks are trying to do? Because I don't see them trying to create Apple TV competitors. I see them partnering with Apple to give free subscriptions along with new contracts.
Yeah, well, they would like to. I think they would like to do all these things. And you've got to remember that you know, that the networks are becoming, you know, Virgin Media O2. You know, that is now a mobile network that has a huge content arm. So it's in their interest to be able to understand what people are watching. You know, Netflix and Apple TV and Disney Plus are all very reticent to give away viewing data, and there's a good reason for that. It's, you know, they simply don't want people knowing what people watch, because it's the key to the business. It's how you develop successful new shows. You know, I hated it, but Red Notice on Netflix is the direct result of it knowing that people like Ryan Reynolds, people like The Rock, people like Gal Gadot, they like a certain number of explosions in a film, and they like occasional comedy. You know, it isn't a good film because it's basically a mushed together pile of that, but it works, and it was very popular because...
Content by Netflix, algorithm.
And Netflix understands its audience. Like, I might hate that fact, because I think you walk away from that kind of stuff very unfulfilled. There's no artistry in it. It's someone, you know, painting by numbers, essentially. But you can't argue with the fact that Netflix is entitled to do that. And we certainly don't consent to our ISPs knowing everything about what we do. And, you know, I mean, the comments on that story are fairly predictable. You know, I don't want my ISP to see my data. I don't want it to sell me ads. You know, I don't want it to give my data to third parties. This is all stuff that this suggestion is driving towards. It's like, well, we want to be able to see what you're doing so that we can make money out of it. Well, no, I'm sorry. I pay you largely for data. If you don't think you're charging enough for data, well, then you have to rethink your pricing structure, and I'll pay it because I'll have no choice. But I'm not prepared to give up my privacy for the sake of you being able to force feed me ads. And it says a lot about the attitude.
Can I give you a devil's advocate viewpoint?
Sure.
If a network provider is zero rating data for services like Netflix or Apple Music or Spotify, which many if not all of them do in some capacity, that only works if they know that you're accessing the server where that music is on. If you engage your VPN or you engage your Cloudflare DNS or your encrypted DNS or whatever you're doing, certainly with Cloud Relay, I think it might be similar. They don't know that your data is special, i.e. it's Apple Music or it's Netflix or it's YouTube, and so they can't zero rate it. So that's a direct impact on consumers that is a negative for turning these kinds of services on. It only works if the network knows what you're doing.
So
I don't think it's cut and dry, but I also don't think that this is a complaint for anti-competition.
I don't think that's a justification. I don't care. I don't want them zero rating data. I never did. I don't agree with it. I think it should, you know, the internet should be, that's the net neutrality argument. All of the network should be treated the same.
But that's a customer choice.
It is a customer choice, yes. But I do also feel that it is a bad thing. And it's a bad thing for exactly this reason. I mean, that's a bit of a circular argument. But basically, I don't want them knowing what I'm doing. It's none of their business. I don't care. I haven't got anything to hide, is what people say. And I don't care. I don't even care, you know, if they see the things that I don't want them to see. It doesn't bother me. I know what the internet is. I am fully aware of the fact that you can't really have any privacy. What I'm saying is that I don't want that to be their business model. And I will do everything I can to defeat it. I will engage a private DNS if I have to, secure DNS. I'm already using Raspberry Pi to do Pi Hole to, you know, keep me safe. I've mentioned this almost every week, to keep my stuff safer. And
hang on, wait. How can you believe that you don't care and have nothing to hide and yet use a Pi Hole?
Because I don't have anything to hide. I don't care what people that they know. I'm just saying that it's none of their business, and I will do everything I can to stop them from finding out about it, just because I will. You know, I have the understanding of what's going on, and I don't like it, and I think it needs to be discouraged, and I will do everything. I think constantly about how you can, mess up the pool of data they have about me. Like, I wouldn't say I lose sleep about it, but every time I see a cookie message, I'm like, I wish there was a way to just fill this cookie full of nonsense that led them to not understand anything about me. I don't like it. I can see that advertising is a thing. I know that there's an importance to it. I know targeted ads are worth more. But at the same time, I'm also paying. I'm paying for my mobile phone. I'm paying for Netflix. I'm paying, you know, I'm paying for all of this stuff. And I don't see why. I'm not getting it for free. I'm not a product. I am paying. And that's why, you know, I have to do what I tend to do these days and say, I think Apple's done an amazing thing by offering Private Relay. It does keep people safer online. It reduces the risk that people can see what you're up to and nefarious people. And as soon as you take that away, then you're opening it up not only to these companies with what they would describe as legitimate uses, which I would dispute, but you're also opening it up to everyone else who might see it and then, you know, specifically target you for a certain kind of thing. You know, if you spend a lot of time searching for dating sites, then it's, you know, a scammer could say, well, that's obviously a lonely person. I'll engage my relationship scam. You know, there are reasons that it's important for us to have privacy online. And like I said, most people don't have anything to hide. But at the same time, you know, why should we give away everything about ourselves just to browse the net every now and then?
It's interesting. It's always going to get people flared up, and I think for good reason as well. We all include the link to firstly to the Mac Rumors story that Ian saw this on. We'll include the link to the Mobile UK's posting, which was, I mean, it was a response to the CMA's report, wasn't it? Like the CMA,
it's the market report,
published this interim report earlier in the year about the mobile market, and in it, it touched upon things like the private relay stuff, and the Mobile UK was responding to that formally as part of that. It's not like they came out of the blue and said it for no reason. It was part of that, but it doesn't change the fact that it was said. So we'll include a link at links at uktechshow.com/episodes to all of these things. But let us know what you think. Send us an email, hello@uktechshow.com, or you can get in touch on Twitter, of course, at textmessagepod, where Ian and I will engage you in a public discussion. That will be fun. Whatever you do, send Ian, just, I don't know, send him some, what do you want? Something just to relax you a little bit?
Some blood pressure tablets?
Yeah.
That would be a start.
Send him some diazepam and pornography. He'll have a nice evening.
But encrypt your pornography.
Yeah, exactly. Hello@uktechshow.com. I think now we're going to hear from Mr. Tom Merritt, who's going to tell us what's been happening in the wider world of tech news this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, CD sales hit a record high. Streaming, vinyl, and cassettes all rose too. Only digital downloads declined. Why cryptocurrency has not helped circumvent sanctions in Russia, a study that shows that fact-checking makes people trust news outlets less, and Stephanie Humphrey helped us make sense of a California bill to let parents sue social media companies if they can't prove children were not addicted to social media. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
So,
interesting that digital downloads are down.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
They're down low. Yeah. Yeah. Cassettes have long been propped up by the Swedish black metal community.
Sure. But I mean, I've got nothing bad
Norwegian,
to say about
cassettes. Sorry. Don't kill me. Norwegian.
Here's the thing. I think it's a shame that cassettes are on the up, but they're not making high quality tape mechanisms anymore. You know, like if you go and watch Techmoan on YouTube, you will learn very quickly that there's nothing really wrong with the sound quality of audio cassettes, but we were fobbed off with very cheap hardware for a really long time. As happens, you know, the quest to get cheaper and cheaper. If you get a nice quality cassette deck, it's pretty close to CD.
Where's that?
You know, so people, the tape decks that people are playing these things on, I don't imagine they're very good quality.
Yeah, that
but
you can have digital tape.
That is a combination of VHS and compact cassettes, because it's a spinning head, the same as a VHS deck.
Oh.
So you can put more data down by doing it sort of, I think it's kind of diagonal.
That's interesting.
It is really interesting. And yeah, that was a kind of like that sort of similar technique, I believe.
We did have a lot of feedback come in, actually. We mentioned it at the top of the show about our unscripted episode last week. So do keep it coming if you have only just listened to that. Do you prefer us to be fully scripted? I mean, we're never fully scripted, right? Because we script, I don't know, what would you say, 60%, 50% of the show?
Well,
it's like the first half of each story.
Yeah, the bit where we're telling the other person about the story is usually pretty scripted.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at following scripts, but yeah, for the most part it's scripted.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe there's a middle ground. So if you do have a view on whether you prefer the quite considered and scripted journey through the week's news, if there is any news, that is, then let us know if you prefer us to sort of sit down and, what I think of as being like, if you sat in a pub with Ian and I, what would 45 minutes of that be like? Basically last week's show.
Should also send us questions for when we do those shows, like the random thing we pick. If you've got like a question you'd like to ask, we can put it in the random rotation.
Yeah, what do we call it? The text message conversation randomizer.
Yeah, something like that. It's your thing.
Called it last week. That was in the extended version that the patrons get. But yeah, any views on that? We haven't really shaken up the format of the show in quite a long time. Maybe it's because you like it and that's great. But if not, let us know. Hello@uktechshow.com. We talked about the Mac Studio on the extended version of the show this week, and Power Drain of Core i9s and all sorts of stuff, which is out now if you go to patreon.com/UK Tech. Ian, it's been a pleasure. I will see you.
Thank you. And I'm thrilled your purchase has worked so well for you.
Thank you very much. And we will see you all for another show next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.